A boomerang is supposed to return when it leaves your hand, but a boomerang kid? Well, that's something else entirely. I am Rob West. Do you have a boomerang kid? That's a term for an adult child that's returned home, like a boomerang, and now lives with you again. If so, you're not alone. We'll talk about what you can do about it. And we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, I said you're not alone if you have a boomerang kid living in your basement. We know that because the financial group Thrivent actually does an annual boomerang kid survey. The latest one, just conducted in April, found that 46% of parents have had an adult child move back in with them at some point. The survey showed that student loan debt is preventing boomerang kids from achieving financial milestones, like buying a home, 39%, saving for retirement, 34%, or building emergency savings, 36%. And 28% of young adults say student loans have them living paycheck to paycheck, with only 22% saying their first job helps them pay down that debt. Now, an adult child living at home in and of itself may not be a big drag on parents' finances if you're only providing what's called three hots and a cot. It's when you start picking up the tab for their smartphone, student loans, and car payments that things can get out of hand in a hurry. Many parents are willing to help their kids even to the point of their own detriment, even when it jeopardizes their retirement. In a brand new Bankrate survey, around half of parents said they've sacrificed emergency savings and debt payoff efforts to help their adult children. 43% said they'd tapped into retirement savings to help their kids. This inability to cut the financial umbilical cord can have a detrimental impact on both parents and children. The kids may begin to expect regular financial handouts and become dependent on them. So what to do about it? Well, first is realizing that you should do something about it. You don't want to have an adult child living at home unless there are mitigating circumstances, such as caring for you if you're disabled. Proverbs 10:4 reads, "A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." As parents, we always want to help our children, but at the same time, we don't want to encourage our children to have a slack hand. Finding the dividing line between helping and hurting can be difficult, and that often leads to tension when spouses disagree on where one ends and the other begins. But it doesn't have to be a question of throwing your kid out on the street or breaking your budget. You can take on this challenge gradually. First of all, you need to set a non-negotiable requirement. Your boomerang child must have a job and be earning income. The type of job isn't important. Set a deadline. For example, moving out day is 2 months from now if you're not yet working. There are plenty of jobs available, so this shouldn't be a problem. Once your boomerang kid is earning money, you can sit down with him or her and set up a budget and a financial plan. First and foremost, in that plan will be saving to get their own place. You need to impress upon the child the need to live below one's means so that you can save. It's key to all future financial success. You can offer to match your child's savings temporarily to accelerate the process. You want your child to save for an apartment, but also to save for emergencies. Their budget must allow for that once they're on their own. Otherwise, something will come up, like a job loss or a major car repair, and they'll be borrowing from you or moving back in. Of course, all of this is much easier if you are a financial role model. There's no better way to teach your children about wise money management than by showing them how to do it. Proverbs 22:6 tells us, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it." It's never too late to start teaching your children financial responsibility. And when you do, your boomerang child can once again leave your hand, this time successfully. I hope that's been an encouragement to you. Hey, before we take our first break, let me remind you about the FaithFi app. It's a great way for you to develop your spending plan. And by the way, it could be a great resource for that boomerang child in your basement. Perhaps they could use it to set up their own budget, begin to track their spending, get into our digital envelope system, and learn a crucial skill that will pay huge dividends when they're out on their own. You'll find it all on our website. website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
Truth for Youth Bible is helping change lives.
I was one of the most prominent drug dealers in my school. One of the girls came up to me one day and gave me a Truth for Youth Bible. She told me to read it. I immediately started cussing her out. That day at lunch, I started reading some of the comics in the front, and I noticed that one of the drug dealers in the front was a lot like me. I realized that I needed help, and God was the only way I was going to get that. I went and found the girl. I asked her to teach me how to pray, and she did, and she forgave me. And then I asked Jesus to forgive me.
Over the last 20 years, more than a million Truth for Youth Bibles have been given to youth all over America. And this year, we want to add at least 60,000 to that total. It's available in English and Spanish, and every student between the ages of 13 and 18 can get one free if they promise to give it to a friend at school. Call 844-530-8890. That's 844-530-8890 between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central, or visit tfy.org anytime.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at afr.net.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Just a quick reminder, we're not here today, so don't call in, but we lined up some great questions in advance. We'll get to those in just a moment. First, in the news today, some interesting information out about new scams, specifically employment scams that are surging as criminals are leveraging artificial intelligence to steal money and personal information from unsuspecting job seekers. According to a recent Identity Theft Resource Center report, consumer reports of job scams jumped 118% in 2023, and that's over the prior year. Now, here's how that happens. Thieves generally pose as recruiters and post fake job listings to entice applicants and then steal their valuable information during the, quote, interview process. They often post these phony listings on reputable websites, which makes it even more challenging. So their posts on LinkedIn and Monster and other job search platforms, which really makes distinguishing between the real job listings and the scams challenging. Now, a chief danger is, of course, divulging information about financial accounts or sensitive personal data like a social security number, and then criminals use that information to steal your identity. According to the FTC, consumers reported losing $367 million to job and business opportunity scams in 2022. That was up 76% over the previous year, with the typical victim losing about $2,000. Now, AI advancements have allowed the scammers to generate these job listings and recruitment messages that look more legitimate. So the AI tools actually help them refine the pitch to make it more believable and compensate for cultural and grammar differences in language use that would have normally been kind of a red flag, but again, AI making it sound more legitimate. So how do you protect yourself from these job scams? Well, here's a few things the FTC says you should know. First, don't have a false sense of security on well-known job search platforms. Again, many of these scams are appearing on those same well-known platforms. Two, independently verify the company that it exists and that it is in fact hiring. Don't accept a job offer until you've done your own research. Be wary if you didn't initiate contact with the prospective employer or recruiter. Instead, reach out to the company directly using legitimate contact information. Only limited personal information is generally required during the application process. So we're talking name, phone number, job and education history, maybe your email and home address, but really shouldn't be giving much more than that. Digital-only transactions are a red flag. However, phone calls aren't a guarantee of security if they're only communicating with you electronically. There's not a phone call or some sort of Zoom meeting or something. That should be a warning sign. Honest employers won't send you to buy supplies or anything else and then ask you to return the leftover money. This is a fake check scam that's often a part of these. And finally, be careful about something that sounds too good to be true. So if you hear about a job ad that says 100% remote work, very few skills required, and a huge salary, well, that should be a red flag that it's too good to be true. So as we see more and more of these, we're doing more online business. We've got AI. All these things can be really helpful. More remote work available. That's a good thing. The problem is the scammers are working overtime to exploit these new trends, and so you just want to be on your guard there. I hope that helps. We're going to begin today in Lauderdale Lakes, Florida. Donna, go right ahead.
Hi, and thank you so much for the opportunity to ask my question.
Sure.
I am still working, and I started taking Social Security at age 70 last November. I discovered that there was no penalty since I waited so long to my current earnings, and yeah. I originally thought there was no tax, but I think I probably do have to pay tax. So I wanted to confirm that, and if so, how can I minimize that tax?
Yes. Yeah, very good. There may or may not be. So many states don't have state Social Security taxes, but for federal taxes, it really depends on your combined income. And the definition of combined income is that that includes 50% of your Social Security benefit plus any adjusted gross income and tax-exempt interest income. So think about, you know, you're continuing to work perhaps and you have income. You add that adjusted gross income to 50% of your Social Security benefit. And then depending on how much that totals, that's going to determine whether or not you pay taxes on that Social Security income. And if so, what portion of it? Let me ask you this. Are you married filing jointly or are you filing as a single taxpayer?
Single taxpayer.
Okay. So if that combined income, which again is 50% of Social Security plus your adjusted gross income, if it's under $25,000, there's no federal income tax whatsoever. If that combined income is between $25,000 and $34,000 for a single filer, then up to 50% of your Social Security benefits will be taxed at your marginal federal income tax rate. And then if you're over $34,000 of combined income per year, then up to $85,000 of those Social Security benefits are going to be subject to federal income tax. So it really just depends on what your combined income is as to whether or not, you know, it could be nothing, could be up to 50%, could be up to 85% on the top end.
Okay. And trying to think of the other question.
Well, I think the other that you mentioned was, is there a way to reduce that? And basically, the only way to reduce it is to get your combined income down, which would mean that perhaps if you could get, you know, above the standard deduction and itemize your deductions, maybe if you have a large number of charitable contributions. Obviously, if you're not working and your only income is Social Security, then for most folks, they don't go above that threshold and they don't have any tax. So it really is just the same thing you would do during your working years would apply here as to getting that total reportable income down by charitable contributions, things like that.
Okay. Since I'm having payroll taxes on my current job, but nothing against the Social Security, do you think I'll be penalized when I do my tax and it shows I owe so much?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would probably reach out to a CPA, and you may be able to just do your own taxes in the future. But given that this is the year where you're transitioning over, I think having your CPA calculate how much you're going to owe and then making those estimated payments would be great. They may tell you that you're fine just waiting until your filing date, but I would check in on that first. So if you don't have a CPA, you could reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor in your area on our website at faithfi.com and get a referral. But I think getting that counsel now with that estimated tax would be really important. You know, folks, we've got some great questions coming up, and we'll get to those in just a moment, but we're up against a break here, and so I don't want to go to them quite yet. So let me mention, I've mentioned a couple of professionals that can walk alongside you in your journey. And part of our heart here at FaithFi is to make sure that we give you good, godly counsel on this broadcast and through our podcast and in our library there in the FaithFi app and online. But we also want to connect you with godly counsel that can actually journey with you. Somebody who's trained and skilled in your area of need, who can walk alongside you to encourage you and pray with you and give you godly counsel and help you make a wise decision, not telling you what to do, but equipping you to make a wise decision. And for us, that's either a certified Christian financial counselor, which you'll find at faithfi.com, or that's a certified Kingdom advisor, which is a professional who's been trained and achieved the highest credential in the financial services industry. You'll find a CKA at our website, faithfi.com. Just click Find a Professional. Hopefully that helps. We'll be right back.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. We aim to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at OneAscent.com. And by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Over the last 20 years, more than a million Truth for Youth Bibles have been given to youth all over America. And this year, we want to add at least 60,000 to that total. It's available in English and Spanish, and every student between the ages of 13 and 18 can get one free if they promise to give it to a friend at school. Call 844-530-8890. That's 844-530-8890 between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central. Or visit tfy.org anytime.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Hi, I'm Riley Wellman, director of the AFA Foundation. One of my main things that I like to do is visit with our supporters, whether it's traveling or just on the phone. We just love to meet with people, and if they have a complicated situation, we would love to sit down and talk with them. You can visit us at afafoundation.net or give us a call at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, just a quick reminder, this is National Truth for Youth Bible Week here on American Family Radio. We're inviting you to help us give away thousands of free Bibles to young people across America. We have a long-standing partnership here at AFR with Revival Fires International to provide the hope of Jesus to teens as they return to school. It's an amazing opportunity to reach a generation of young people and get the Word of God back in the public schools through the distribution of the popular Truth for Youth Bible. As these young people return to their campuses, they have the ability to bring these Bibles with them at no cost to them and put them in the hands of students in their schools. And we've seen literally tens of thousands coming to Christ in this partnership in prior years, and we want to continue that again. So Revival Fires International is giving one free Truth for Youth Bible to every student between the ages of 13 and 18, as long as they promise to pass it along to a friend this year. The Truth for Youth Bible has the entire New Testament. It has full-color comics that present the gospel and moral truths, and it's powerful. It's also available in Spanish. Over 1 million of these have already been given away over the 20 years that this project has been in place, and you can order a Bible on behalf of your son or daughter or teens. Just call us to get one. You can also order large quantities of Bibles for just $2 each. Here's how you do that. Just go to the website tfy.org. That stands for Truth for Youth. That's tfy.org. Or if you'd rather call, I'm going to give you the phone number. Get your pen ready. Call 844-530-8890. And if you'll do that between 8:30 and 4:30 Central Time, 844-530-8890, or it's quick and easy at tfy.org. So we're so excited about this partnership. We're thrilled about the response you've already had, but we still have a ways to go, and you can help us get there, tfy.org. All right, let's head to the phones. We're going to take as many calls as we can here on the remainder of the broadcast. Let's go up to Newark, New Jersey. Hi, Dion. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for accepting my call.
Sure.
God bless you for your ministry and your honest advice.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. My question was, I was informed by an acquaintance to invest in a Morgan Stanley, what they call a mutual funding energy, because it's supposed to pay $3,000 every 30 days for a maximum of $12,000 a year, but it sounds kind of skeptical to me. Maybe it sounds a little too good to be true. I was wondering what your opinion was on that. And also, if there's anything similar to that, that might be a safe investment, maybe kind of a low risk factor.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate that, Dion. And Morgan Stanley is obviously a very reputable organization, but I have some questions on what you're describing here. So what did you say the investment was that would generate the $12,000 a year? How much do you put in?
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to mention that. He said to invest $20,000 and would pay $3,000 every 90 days. And I said, yeah. I'll have to ask somebody about that because I don't know about that.
Yes, somebody's mistaken on that, and perhaps someone just misunderstood. But I mean, that $12,000 a year on a $20,000 investment would be a 60% return on your investment. So if there was anything that would pay in 60% without very much risk, people would be lined up around the block to give them their money. So that there's no way that that's possible. In terms of low risk, I mean, you know, the lower the risk, the lower your potential reward, of course. And so I think that's why we talk about diversification here, which we find in God's Word, the idea behind diversification. We talk about using multiple asset classes. So that's why you might have some in stocks and some in bonds, and the mix of those changes throughout your lifetime. You move more toward the more stable investments, which are the bonds and the CDs as you age, but you keep some exposure to stocks, although it declines over time, so that you can have a growth component to your portfolio. Because as people are living longer, you know, even when you reach retirement at, let's say at 65 or 70, you shift away from paid work. If that's the way the Lord leads, you may need that money to last 20 or 30 more years. And so the way you offset the effects of inflation is to keep some exposure to stocks, but then you balance it out with the majority and maybe bonds and CDs, maybe some precious metals, things like that. You could certainly have some exposure to the energy sector, but I wouldn't be highly concentrated there. Some of the nice aspects of energy type investments, whether it's few through an individual stock ownership or a preferred stock or a mutual fund, is that they're generally income generating. And, you know, as the energy sector does well, then you do well. But you don't want to be overly concentrated there, because that adds risk. Because if the energy sector is out of favor for a period of time because of regulation or politics, kind of like we saw with the shift from the previous administration under Trump to Biden, and the change in policy with regard to energy and natural resources, that affects those industries. And there's a corresponding impact on the performance of those investments. And so if you don't have other sectors of the economy that offset it, you're too highly concentrated, and then it becomes risky. So I think the bottom line to your original question is no, there's no way that Morgan Stanley has an investment that's offering 60% low risk returns, but it's a great organization. And I think, you know, you finding either someone who can invest for you or doing it yourself, taking a diversified approach, perhaps using a high-quality mutual fund, one that at your stage of life is skewed more toward bonds and fixed income with some exposure to stocks, probably makes sense. Yes, there's going to be some risk, but that's always the case when we're seeking a return. The key is to manage that risk in light of your goals and objectives. Does that all make sense, though?
Well, it makes a lot of sense, Rob. Yeah, right now I just have a seven-month CD at 5.01%.
Okay. Yeah. And what's the total amount you have available to invest?
To keep some liquid, I guess maybe about 80 to 100,000.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Well, I like CDs a lot for that portion that you want to keep in the most conservative, and especially while they're paying 5%, that's great. The challenge is that's not going to be available forever as these rates start coming down. The Fed funds rate, those CD rates will drop. So this might be a good time to reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor who could manage that for you. Keep a portion in CDs, but add some other investments along the way. If you want to do that, you can check with one at faithfly.com. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
Our God is not a conglomeration of doctrines and dogmas for us to memorize. No, God is a person. We have the opportunity to know Him, and He has revealed Himself to us through His own Son, Jesus Christ.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series in Ephesians, Belief That Behaves, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
Over the last 20 years, more than a million Truth for Youth Bibles have been given to youth all over America. And this year, we want to add at least 60,000 to that total. It's available in English and Spanish, and every student between the ages of 13 and 18 can get one free if they promise to give it to a friend at school. Call 844-530-8890. That's 844-530-8890 between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central, or visit tfy.org anytime.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. The lines are all stacked up, so let's head back to the phones. Evanston, Illinois, WMBI. Hi, Colleen. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Blessings on your afternoon.
Thank you.
I'm 73 years old, and my official status is retired, although I do work as a temp. So I haven't made any contributions into my retirement account for 3 years or so. And I haven't taken any distributions, though, and some very financially savvy friends of mine were saying that to safeguard these funds from the ups and downs of the market, I should take everything out of my 503B and create a CD ladder. But I said, wouldn't that result in a huge tax burden if I move all those funds out of my retirement accounts and put them and create a CD ladder? And they said, no taxes. So that's very puzzling to me.
Well, what they may have been referring to is the fact that you can buy CDs inside of a retirement account. Often what they're called is brokered CDs if you're using a brokerage firm, or you may have a retirement account at a bank or some other firm where you can buy the CDs directly. But there's two different things going on here. We have the type of account, which is either taxable or pre-tax, and the retirement accounts are, of course, pre-tax, and that would be 403Bs, 401Ks, IRAs. And then there's separate from the type of account, there's the investments in the account, and that could be CDs, it could be stocks, could be bonds, could be mutual funds. And so in your 403B, if you've separated from your employer, you could roll that out to an IRA. That's not a taxable event because it keeps it in a pre-tax environment. And then you could turn around and buy CDs inside the IRA. I think the bigger question is, what is the right investment strategy that's appropriate for your age and risk tolerance, goals, and objectives? But let me stop there and just see if that clears it up for you.
It does. So I imagine they were talking about working within, I'm with TIAA, so right. So I understand now you're saying I'd have to move it into an IRA and then use that to buy CDs through TIAA where all my accounts are.
Yeah, and even, you know, TIAA brokerage offers certificates of deposit. And so you could very likely buy CDs even inside TIAA, inside that retirement account. You would just need to contact them about that.
And what do you think of that strategy in general for safeguarding the funds from the ups and downs of the market?
Yeah, I don't think it's a good one for all of your money in the sense that, you know, those CD rates that are fairly attractive right now are only temporary. So as the Federal Reserve starts to lower the Fed funds rate, then those CD rates are going to fall. Now, when's that going to happen? Well, no one knows, but it's probably, you know, the Fed is saying that they're going to start lowering rates before the end of the year, and that will likely continue through the next year because they can't leave them this high for very long, or it's going to really start to continue to slow down the economy and we'll slip into a recession. So as those rates come down, the CD rates will come down. And so when it comes to investing, we're always looking long term. And so the question for you is, well, let me ask you, what is your age?
72.
Okay. So let's say the Lord, you know, still has a lot for you to do here and you live to 102 or even 92. I mean, so then you have two or three more decades for this money to last. So we can look out 20 or 30 years and say, what's the right investment strategy for you for this retirement account? And if you were sitting with an advisor, they would say, you know, tell me what you think the future holds for you. Where are you headed next? What kind of income sources do you have? Social Security? Okay, great. What else do you have? How much income do you need to draw from this retirement account? How much return are we looking for each year? And typically for somebody who's 72, they might, you know, come up with a portfolio where, you know, maybe 30 to 40% is in stocks, which gives you a growth component, maybe 60 to 70% is in bonds and maybe some CDs, and then maybe 5% or so in precious metals or gold. I mean, that would be a fairly typical portfolio. And the goal would be to generate enough income so that if you wanted to start pulling out, let's say 4% a year, that you could do that and maintain the balance. But with inflation, if you don't have it invested, you're going to lose purchasing power over time because things are getting more expensive. And that's why we keep a growth component. So the CDs are a good short-term solution. But when those CDs are up in 7 months or a year, and instead of paying five, they're paying three or two or less than that, that's really not going to offset the effects of inflation. And that's why we put other things in a properly diversified portfolio. Are they more risky than CDs? Sure, because the government's not guaranteeing the return, but they also have the potential for a greater return. And so we balance that risk by having good diversification and a proper, what they call investment allocation that's appropriate for your age. And that's why typically you work your whole life, you amass some wealth, and then you have an investment advisor that is the one making those investment decisions for you. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you're very welcome. There's some advisors there at TIAA CREF. You could also connect with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Illinois just by going to our website, faithfi.com, and click Find a Professional. Thanks for your call today very much. Let's go to Spokane. Hi, Misty. How can we help?
Hi, Rob. Thanks so much for your program. I've listened every time I'm in the car.
Well, I'm so glad. Thank you.
I have two questions for you.
Okay.
Is now a good time to build something? So I own a home. I own three lots that are in a row. The two vacant lots are owned outright. I don't own anything on them. Would now be a good time to take a loan out to build something there? Just thinking, I'm 61, thinking to the future of having some kind of income coming in. And as I tell my kids, I'm always working to just leave them something. But wondering if now is a good time to do something like that. And I'll let you answer that. And then I got one other quick question.
Okay, very good. Yes. So in the sense that, you know, construction costs are still remaining high, but they have come down from kind of the COVID levels where they spiked. The challenge you have right now is real estate is expensive. and we don't expect, most economists are not expecting, you know, any kind of decline in the housing market, the real estate market anytime soon. It's probably going to be a slowing, and we've already seen this, a slowing of the rate of increase, but probably not much of a decrease, just because even though the inventories are building and we're getting more new construction projects, you know, than we've had in the past, there's still more demand than supply. On top of the high costs of real estate right now is the cost of borrowing. And so the extent to which you're going to have to take on a big loan to acquire or build on these properties means, you know, debt service is going to be pretty significant, just given that where interest rates are, 7%+. So it requires that you have the staying power, the capital to go in and buy it, and that you can cover the carrying costs with the debt. Let's do this. I've got to take a break, Misty, but I want to get your thoughts on that. And then it sounded like you had a second question. So you stay right there. And right after the break, we'll pick this back up and we'll finish the question. Agatha, Leanne, coming your way as well. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, and we'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7.05 p.m. Central, 8.05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Over the last 20 years, more than a million Truth for Youth Bibles have been given to youth all over America. And this year, we want to add at least 60,000 to that total. It's available in English and Spanish, and every student between the ages of 13 and 18 can get one free if they promise to give it to a friend at school. Call 844-530-8890. That's 844-530-8890 between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central, or visit tfy.org anytime.
Every day we hear life-changing stories from listeners just like you who see money and possessions as tools to invite more people into God's kingdom. Instead of chasing wealth, you've chosen to embrace God as your source of love and provision. At FaithFi, we're passionate about meeting people where they live and work through our national radio program, app, resources, and website to influence widespread positive change in our culture. Please consider becoming a monthly partner at faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
I'm grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Sit back and enjoy. We're going to cover a lot of ground here in our final segment. We'll get to as many calls as we can. Before the break, we were talking to Misty in Spokane, Washington. She's wondering if this is the right time to take out a loan and build a house and make it a rental property. It has to do with the mortgage and the prices of construction in this environment. She'd be building a duplex. And Misty, I was sharing before the break, I mean, the only challenge right now is we've got building costs are still high, even though they've come down a bit since the pandemic supply chain constraints, on top of expensive real estate with a hot, red hot real estate market in the U.S., on top of high carrying costs with mortgage rates being high. So it's, you know, it's not a situation where you can't make money in real estate. It's just more challenging. But given all of that, what are your thoughts?
Well, like I said, I own the two pieces of property outright. In fact, yeah. I have three lots in a row on my block. One of them is my home, and the other two are vacant lots. And so I was just thinking that it might be smart to get something up to have some income coming in. It seems like there's not a whole lot out there for rent, although I am seeing a few complexes going up around my area. So I just didn't know if this was a good time. Should I build now and then refinance to a or rate if they came down. I just, you know, wondered.
Yeah, those are great questions. So what would be the total cost of the project? Do you have a sense of that?
I'm not really sure, but I would imagine a minimum of $250,000. The piece of property is just a city-sized lot, so I wouldn't be able to put anything too big there, but probably, you know, $250,000 to $300,000.
And how much do you think you'd be borrowing on that?
Probably $250,000.
Okay.
I have perfect credit. Yeah. I mean, literally, like a perfect credit score for the first time ever in my life. I don't really have any debt other than my current mortgage, but I already know somebody that would rent one of the units out. So I know that, you know, I would be able to probably rent it and not have to pay that mortgage, you know, out of my pocket. Yeah. Although if I had to, I could.
Yeah, because, I mean, that could easily run you $2,000 a month, you know, on the monthly payment. So you just have to be careful there that you don't get overextended. I think the good news is, to your point, you own the property, so that's great. You're improving it. You know, construction costs are certainly better now than they have been, but interest rates are high. And so I would just run the numbers and make sure that if we got into a recession and maybe you had more trouble renting it than you thought you would, and you went for a period of time without a renter, that you could carry that mortgage payment without any, you know, creating any hardship on you. And then certainly you could refinance down the road. You'd probably wait until you could save at least 2% on the refi in order to do it. And that's probably going to be a few years from now. So, you know, I think you just need to count the cost, but I don't have any, you know, see any downside necessarily as long as you have the financial ability to do it. But was there a second part to your question?
The second part of the question was really about Social Security. So I'm 61. I wouldn't plan on retiring. I own a business, so I'm not really out working business anymore anyway, but I'm not really planning on retiring until like 67. But was just wondering, is, you know, can you, when you own a business, can you collect your Social Security up to a certain amount or whatever, and then, you know, take in income and then go back on Social Security? I just wasn't sure. I don't really trust that we're going to have any Social Security by the time I retire. Mm. So,
okay, got it. Yeah. So the limit has to do with whether or not it's before your full retirement age or after. Once you reach full retirement age, which for you is going to be 67, then you can earn as much as you want, and that doesn't impact your Social Security. But if you take Social Security early, then there is a limit on what you can earn and not have your benefit reduced. So, for instance, for 2024, the earnings cap is $22,320 in earned income. And so, you know, you're working, you're bringing in income. If you go over that, then they're going to deduct a dollar for every $2 you earn above that cap. Now, you will eventually get that money back after full retirement age and be repaid fully for anything that was withheld. It's just for those years where you are having, you know, you're earning above that limit and prior to full retirement age, you are going to have your benefit reduced.
Okay. Does the benefit go back up if you've collected that $22,000 and then you continue to contribute to your Social Security? Does the benefit go up at retirement age?
Yeah, so there'd be a couple of things going on there. So in the reduction based on you collecting or earning more than the earnings limit would go away at full retirement age. You can earn as much as you want, so you'd no longer have the reduction. You'd get an increase because anything that was held back from you because you went over the limit during the years prior to full retirement age is going to start to be paid back to you over time, over a number of years based on your life expectancy. The other way you'll see that check rise is through cost of living adjustments. The third way you'll see it rise is that if you continue to work and you're paying FICA taxes and any of those annual earnings beyond full retirement age, or really at any point, replace any of your high 35 years that were used to determine your benefit amount because you earned more than some of those 35 highest years, then that continues to take place beyond full retirement age. And as those high 35 are replaced with even higher earnings, then you would see an increase in your benefit from that as well. Does that all make sense?
It does. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thanks for calling. Let's go to Cleveland. Hi, Agatha. You've been very patient. Go ahead.
Thank you, Bob. So I receive two checks every month. I retired from the United States Postal Service, and I was a civil servant as well. So it's good money. My question to you is, I'm like everybody else. I thought that I paid taxes on this money when I was making it. I stopped working at 69, the beginning of COVID in 2020, and I filed for the year before, and I filed in 20 and 21, but I didn't file 22, and I haven't filed 23, because I want to know why I have to. I'm not understanding that, and thank you for your answer.
All right, very good. Well, you never stop paying taxes. The question is, do you have enough income that would trigger a tax depending on what your income sources are? And with a government pension and Social Security benefits, your income is probably high enough that you owe taxes. And that's just the way the system works. So I wouldn't be concerned about it. I mean, you may have a little bit of interest and so forth. But the key is that you find out if you have any tax liability that's owed. And if so, that you get on a plan to either pay it back over time with a payment plan, or you just write a check and get it taken care of. So what I would do, Agatha, is reach out to a CPA to get your taxes in order. And if you need to, you could request a payment plan with the IRS. And so if you have a CPA, you could reach out to that person. If you don't, you could contact a certified Kingdom advisor in your area on our website at faithfi.com and ask for a referral. Or you could go down to a local office. There's even some free solutions available. You could find those at irs.gov. If you have a fairly simple situation, you could take advantage of those. But unfortunately, you never get out of having to owe taxes. It's just whether or not you have enough income that triggers the tax. And that's going to come down to, what that total amount is. So hopefully that clears it up for you, Agatha. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. Let's go to Oak Brook, Illinois, and finish up with Leanne. Go ahead.
Hi. I have a 3-unit apartment building that I rent out. And I was wondering if there is a benefit to applying for an LLC.
Yeah, there are several benefits for a rental business. First is what's called personal asset protection. So the members of the LLC, the owners, are generally not personally liable for business debts and liabilities. And so you've got some level of protection through the LLC, which is embedded in the name, Limited Liability Corporation. You have some management flexibility, so you can choose to manage the LLC yourself, or you could appoint a manager who may not have an interest in it. There's also what's called pass-through taxation. So the business income is then reported on the member's personal tax returns, and it avoids the double taxation that you would have if you had a C-Corp. And then it's often easier to attract investors if you're looking for investors, because it, presents a more professional image. And then you may even have a few banking benefits where you could open a business bank account and establish credit under the company name, that type of thing. So those would be the primary benefits. So I'd reach out to an attorney in your area and just talk through that, and they can share with you whether or not it makes sense in your situation. Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. Thanks for calling today. Karen, I saw your question. Unfortunately, we don't have time to take it. Let me just mention, I know you were asking about a credit card company, and could a judgment be sought against you, and could they put a lien on your home? I'm not an attorney, so it's always good to get legal advice. But what I would just say is, the good news is credit card companies have no legal right to place a lien on your home for credit card debt. There's only a few types of creditors who would have the right to place a lien on a debtor's home, a mortgage, or a home improvement lender, and state and federal taxing authorities for failure to pay taxes. Now, your wages could be garnished with a judgment. If they seek a judgment against you in a court, they could garnish wages for non-payment of credit card debt, but you would not see a lien on your home. I would just finish by saying, obviously, we want to be, as believers, we want to make good on our obligations. So I would reach out to our friends at Christian Credit Counselors at ChristianCreditCounselors.org, and they could help you get back on track with those creditors. Thanks for calling today. I'm sorry we didn't get you on the air. That's going to do it for us today, folks. So thankful to have you along with us today. I'm grateful for my team today that we can't do this without. Devin Patrick, our producer today, our call screener today, Pat Montague, providing great research, Jim Henry. Absolutely could not do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. May the Lord bless you as you manage His money according to His principles. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.